Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com and Vero-Law.com. I'm your host, David Chulo, and today you're listening to the HR Power Hour, HR Educational Radio. Our guest today is Mark Briggs. He's the author of the book, The Butterfly Impact, Resilience, Resets, and Ripples. Mark, welcome to the show.
Thanks, David. Happy to be here.
No, happy to have you on. Well, you know, I always like to ask any author that decides to write a book, why did you decide to write a book?
It's a great question because writing a book is a lot of work. And this is actually my fourth book. So I knew what I was getting myself into in some ways, but in other ways, this was a brand new experience. The reason I wrote this book, I think I can trace back to the pandemic, frankly, where I was already in my work as a consultant, noticing that folks were having challenges with burnout, with overwhelm, with balancing work and life. And then COVID hit, quarantine hit, and wow, that need just skyrocketed. And so the executives that I was working with, my clients were asking me for resources and help and recommendations. And I started putting together some essays here and there as we were just trying to navigate those early days of the pandemic. And it struck me that this could be potentially helpful to folks as a book. And so I came up with an idea. I started pitching it around to friends and colleagues, and everybody seemed to be very excited about the potential for this. So I decided to embark on a book project, and here we are.
Well, anytime you write a book, as you know, it requires a lot of data, a lot of information, a lot of time, right? And putting it all together. So when you thought to yourself, this should be a, you know, good topic, certainly the pandemic changed so many things from what you were probably doing before. What did you see as the major impacts initially that you really focused on, not only in the book, but overall?
I think the main issue remains boundaries. And I think that it was a struggle for people before. I work mostly with media companies, large TV news stations in big cities, and news, of course, is a 24/7 situation. And so trying to help folks in breaking news situations and just relentless news cycle situations, which has certainly been the case for the past several years, is really challenging. And then the COVID hit and people were either working from home or were in really kind of risky situations at work. And now those boundaries became even more important. And so just trying to find a way to allow for work and life to happen in a healthy way is really the goal of not only my work, but also my book, because it turns out that if you want to be a successful organization, you need to have players who are able to perform at the top of their ability. And so I've talked about this recently, saying that as a management consultant, I could come in with the best strategy possible. But if I'm the basketball coach and we have a great offense, but we didn't bother with the off-season workouts and our players aren't in shape, we're going to lose a lot of games. We need our players to be in shape. And that's really what the whole point of this is about. It's about recognizing the need for those boundaries so that folks have balance, folks have resilience, and they can deal with everything that's coming at them these days.
As you think about, here we are in the early part of 2022, the people you interviewed, I believe there were 100 people you interviewed in the book, if I recall correctly. Yeah. Did they all seem to have the same type of themes in terms of what was going on, in terms of how the last 2 years have really affected them?
There were definitely consistent themes, and probably the most consistent theme throughout was just the recognition that doing it the same way wasn't going to work. And so this sense of, I need to be innovative in my own life in some way to help my organization, to help my family, to help me. And unless I'm adapting, unless I'm innovating and really experimenting with new approaches, new routines, new ways to do a day, ways to do your calendar. I mean, I saw so many different versions of an experimentation going on personally that was leading to growth. And that's the key, is to be able to grow your career, grow yourself as an individual, you know, grow your relationships with people at work and at home, and try to strengthen all of those things. But it has to be a priority, this sort of self-innovation. And that is probably the most consistent theme throughout the 100 people that I talk to.
You say in the beginning of the book, you say, do you feel like your work and your personal life are pulling you in the opposite directions? Like the more you're there for one, the less you are for the other. I bet there's a lot of people that feel that way.
There are a lot of people that feel that way. I've heard a couple of people reference standing on a teeter-totter in the middle. And as you walk towards one side, which is called work, the other side goes in the opposite direction. So then you have to walk back the other way. And so that's where the metaphor of work-life balance, I think, was born out of, that you can, you know, you have to balance it and you have to be in the middle of it. What I'm hearing more nowadays is this sense of either work-life blending, which I write about in the book, where it's really a synergy between your work and your life. And now I'm even hearing folks call it work-life harmony. So I think balance maybe tends to make people think that there has to be an equal amount of both. And I know a lot of professionals struggle with that because they certainly don't spend as much time with their family as they spend with their colleagues and coworkers at work. And that's, I think, why work-life harmony or work-life blending makes more sense, where you want to be thriving in all facets of your life. You want to be thriving professionally and personally as a partner, a spouse, a parent, a friend, whatever the other roles you play. And in order to do that, you have to have that sort of relationship where you're feeling like you're doing the best you can do with whatever you're doing at the time.
Of course, we're talking with Mark Briggs. Book is The Butterfly Impact, Resilience, Resets, and Ripples. I'm your host, David Chulo. And again, you're listening to the HR Power Hour, Educational HR Radio. You know, Mark, in the book, you have many different parts, obviously, to the book, but you talk a lot about this resilience, grit, and triumph. This isn't easy, is it?
This is not easy. And I think that the most challenging part of that is just getting past the overwhelm. And I'm seeing more overwhelm now. And I think that, you know, in your previous podcast, you were talking a lot about the great resignation, you know, and people voting with their feet and realizing that this job isn't worth it anymore. And those kinds of retention issues that companies and organizations and leaders are facing are obviously real. And I think that the first aspect to address is the overwhelm and the burnout that folks are feeling. And so as we try to help folks with resilience, to build in intentional parts of the day, intentional pieces of a meeting where we are going to build resilience as an organization, as a team, we're not just going to expect that the individuals are going to figure it out for themselves. I think that's one of the biggest changes that I've seen in sort of the organizational work culture over the past, I'd say, 4 or 5 months. Because, you know, in August, there was a sense of hope that the pandemic was potentially winding down and we were going to get back to normal in the fall. And then the Delta variant, of course, ruined all of our plans. And that sort of extra hit was kind of like running a marathon and getting to the 25th mile. And then they told you it's going to be 30 miles, not 26. And you just get this sense of overwhelm and just like despair, really, that people all of a sudden started feeling. And so, you know, with my clients, we started building in intentional spots in regular meetings for humor, for gratefulness, for appreciation. And those are the kinds of things that a few years ago probably seemed cheesy in some ways, and today I think are just critical.
You know, whenever an author writes a book, and even though, of course, you have 3 other books, I always like to know what they write their book from a credibility standpoint. And you put a lot of your personal, you know, touch in this. You have some personal stories and some things that have happened in your life that I say make you a good candidate to write the book, right, from that perspective. And I think that's important, though, because we do see a lot of, you know, when people hear consulting, they think, oh, hey, write a book for the business. And in this particular case, especially, I see there's a lot of personal things that you have dealt with that you bring into the book. Why don't you share a little bit about that with the audience so they understand the context of the book and how you personally are part of it?
Yeah, it was a fascinating process for me. I had no intention of actually including a lot of my own personal story in the book when I first envisioned it. But one of the things that I did right away was form a ad hoc advisory board, a group of four people who I knew professionally, but not that well. And they would join me on monthly Zoom calls and they would review drafts and give me feedback along the way. And every step of the way, they encouraged me and really urged me to continue inserting more of my own story into the research, the interviews, and the information that I was compiling and curating. And then I actually went ahead and wrote a very personal and a very vulnerable introduction to the book to set up exactly what you just said, which is, you know what, I've been through a lot of crap. And I've had some really difficult challenges, a couple very painful divorces, some other family trauma, a couple of failed startup companies. As I've said, I have failed more often than I ever thought I would. And I feel like putting that out there for folks at the very beginning helps that credibility come through, where it's like, look, I had to figure out a lot of different ways to navigate through the failure, the stress, the trauma. Here's what I've learned. Here's what's worked for me. Here's what's worked for some other people that I know as well. And so to combining all that together, I hope, you know, makes it more relevant and makes it resonate better with the audience.
Well, it brings a level of authenticity into the book, which I'm not sure would have been there just based upon, you know, a standard read, right? It gives them some credibility behind it and gives you some reason to do that. And you do talk about in your introduction quite a lot of that and how it rippled through your life and rippled through the way it is. And hence, I think the word ripples in your title, I'm going to guess, in terms of that. Were there any specific people that, when you think about the book, that you said really stood out to you as either people you've helped with it or individuals that have impacted part of what you put in the book?
Wow, that's a tough question to answer because there are so many. I really just enjoyed the experience of more than 100 interviews while I was doing the book. Again, that was not part of the plan in the beginning. I didn't anticipate doing a lot of interviewing for this book. I ended up doing one interview in the beginning because I was trying to get going. And as someone who is from a journalism background, and I know that telling stories and personal stories are more compelling for people. So I'm like, well, I'm going to interview someone who's really interesting that I know personally that will help get this whole thing going. And that conversation was so engaging and just fulfilling that I thought, well, let me go and interview another person and then another person and then another person. And more than 100 people later, you know, it was obviously something that was really possible because of the pandemic and quarantine. Everybody was available. Anyone that I emailed to ask, hey, can I interview you for my book, would be like, yep, I got nothing else going on. That sounds fun. So from a timing perspective, again, I couldn't have known that, but that's just how it worked out. So without answering your question, let me now try to answer your question.
You sounded like a journalist for a second there, just so you'll know.
I think, you know, just off the top of my head, and maybe because I just had dinner with her a couple of weeks ago, but Kelly Garnett is someone that I talk about early in the book. And it's her approach of being intentional and bringing joy into a very stressful work environment. When we worked together at the NBC TV station years ago in Seattle, always impressed me. And when I reached out to her and asked her to contribute her perspective of why she did that, why did she have Fun Fact Friday in the news editorial meeting? And what was, you know, what was she thinking? What was her thought process around that? And then she actually, kind of like I did, she opened up and exposed, you know, a side of her that I don't think most people ever knew, that she was having trouble smiling as a kid, that her parents used to give her gold stars when she would smile. So she has had to intentionally find ways to be happy, to show happiness, to feel happiness ever since she was a little kid. And now she's doing that at work, and she moved on to Starbucks and then Amazon. And so her career has really taken off. And I think it's a lot of her leadership skills that have come from being intentionally happy and joyful, even though that's not her nature.
No, that's a great story. And certainly one that points to some of the challenges people face in their personal life and how it comes to work. Well, you're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, and we will be right back.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis, as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
Don't you love that feeling when you've just nailed your look? When someone you barely even know comes up to you and says, "Oh, I love that outfit. Where did you get it?" That's how it feels to use Stitch Fix. They're a personal styling service. Tell them what you love, and they send great clothes for you to try on at home. Stitch Fix is simple. Sign up in just a few minutes. Tell them about the brands you love and the looks that make you feel great. Stitch Fix is convenient. Get everything delivered right to you, so you can try on new styles in the comfort of your own home. Stitch Fix is on your terms and priced to fit your budget. There's no subscription required, ever. Keep what you want and send back anything you don't. So, isn't it time you started nailing your look? Get started today at stitchfix.com. Stitch Fix, personal styling for women, men, and kids. Stitch Fix, personal styling for everybody.
Take it to Moody's. Take it to Moody's Collision Center.
If your car is a wreck and you don't know where to go,
take it to Moody's.
You want to get on with your life, get on with the show.
Take it to Moody's.
Good people you can trust,
and it won't be a fuss.
Take it to Moody's.
M-O-O-D-Y.
Your kid was talking on the cell phone, drove right through your own home, sitting in the parking lot, maybe you get hit a lot, driving through the green light, suddenly your side swipe, put it in reverse, but it turned out that it was first.
Take it to Moody's.
In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employer relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Vero-Law.com. And of course, we're podcasted on Spotify, iTunes, Pandora, iHeartRadio, and more. So please make sure you like and share us. You can also go to HRPowerHour.com and, of course, download the show or look at all the shows. We appreciate you doing that, and make sure that you get your educational HR radio from the HR Power Hour. I'm your host, Stephen Chulo, and we're talking with Mark Briggs. He's the author of the book, The Butterfly Impact: Resilience, Resets, and Ripples. And if you heard in the last segment, he really talked a lot about how certainly during the COVID years, the last couple of years, it has been a definite challenge, and resilience has been essential. Mark, I got to tell you, when I started at the book and it said part one, do your work differently, it sounded a little cliche. It's like, wow, I mean, yeah, sure, it sounds simple enough. And your first section there was the cult of busy. And after I read that section, I have to laugh and say, okay, I do that. So, you know, from that standpoint, so talk to us a little bit about, you know, the positive changes you can maybe do to actually think a little differently about your work.
Yeah, the cult of busy is a term coined by author Scott Berkin, who's a friend of mine here in Seattle. And I've always loved the term because I've known a lot of people, and certainly have been guilty of this in my past as well, where it's a protection mechanism to be too busy to be able to respond to people, to, you know, so it's kind of a defense mechanism, I think, for a lot of folks, and a badge of honor. And I think that our culture over the past few years has started to pivot on this one. And I think that it's pivoting in a healthy direction. I see people on Zoom calls now who will come back and be proud that they actually took a lunch break today. And I think a few years ago, that wasn't the case. It was more about being like, oh my gosh, who has time for lunch, right? So busy. And how many times have you talked to someone and said, well, how are you doing? And they say, oh, crazy busy. It's just crazy busy. And I think for a long time, that was sort of a way to say I'm valuable. And if I'm really busy, then I'm really valuable. And if I'm not busy, then I must not be valuable. And I don't think that's right. I don't think that's accurate at all. And I think that the people, and this is something I write about in the book, that honor and cherish and really protect time affluence are the people who are the most successful, highest producers, highest performing individuals, because they have their stuff together. And I really admire folks who have time, who are not too busy. And that's sort of what I've been trying to do with my own life, even though I'm balancing and juggling many different things. I teach online at the University of North Carolina in the spring, and was writing a book, and I have a full client load with my consulting gig and a parent and all these other items on my plate. But I always try to not be busy. And a lot of people have told me, you seem like you always have time and space, and you can always reply to that email, and you're always available. And I think that's just, you have to be intentional about that. And you have to work hard at those boundaries and prioritizing and making sure that what you're spending your time on is truly meaningful, is truly valuable. And if you do that and you take a more critical lens towards everything that's on your plate, you might be able to take some things off your plate that just aren't worth your time. And I think that comes back to, you know, the basics, which is your time is really valuable. So make it expensive for people to buy it from you.
Well, you know, one of the things that was interesting, you gave a couple of tips in there in terms of helping people move forward with this or change the way they do that. Any one tip stick out to you as the maybe the top one?
I think the top tip for time management, in my experience, and certainly from the people that I talk to, is really just being unapologetic about boundaries. And that is something that Gianna Biscontini, who's someone I interviewed in the book, gave to me. And I've repeated it so many times now, I should probably pay her a royalty every time I say it. But it really is about starting your day intentionally, ending your day intentionally, scheduling a time for lunch, scheduling a time for a walk, scheduling a time for meditation or yoga or journaling or reading a silly book, whatever it is, that as you design your life, you have to make sure that what you think and what you really value is on your calendar. And the only way you can do that is with boundaries and being very vigilant about protecting your time and making sure that it's used in the most valuable ways.
And you're the only one that can protect your calendar, right? It's only you. There's nobody else that, and now maybe you have a scheduler or somebody helps you with through that in fairness, but you're the only one that controls what you do.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of folks from working at home over the past almost 2 years have learned that they need to be even more vigilant about protecting their time, because there isn't that separation from work to home that used to come in the form of a commute. And I've talked to many people who feel like that was tough for them to figure out. And that the commute going downstairs from the office upstairs and boom, you're in the family life without any sort of separation and transition period was really stressful. And it wasn't what they wanted, because then their relationships at home were suffering because they were bringing the stress from work right into it. And so to have, you know, an intentional buffer at the end of your day is something that I've seen a lot of folks really use and get a lot of benefit from. I know some people who, you know, at 5 o'clock, they turn the computer off and they go for a walk with their dog every day. Now, they might come back and do some more work later in the evening after dinner or whatever. That's fine. But it's all about, can you create those intentional spaces so that you can reassess and say, you know, does that email need to get returned tonight? Or can I do that in the morning? And unless you have that intentional break, I think it's too easy to just keep going. You got that momentum going, and the next thing you know, it's 9 o'clock and you haven't eaten dinner or talked to your family. And I know people who do that too, and they don't like themselves when they do that.
And you're listening to the HR Power Hour, of course. I'm your host, David Shulo. And of course, our guest is Mark Briggs, and his book, of course, is The Butterfly Impact. You know, Mark, in here, you talk a little bit, and I think this is so relevant for today, because you mentioned the Great Resignation, or as I've almost been quoting it, it's not only a resignation, it's great redistribution, because most people are moving somewhere else. And that could be to open their own, whatever they're doing, they're just moving along. Chapters 4 and 5 go together, as far as I'm concerned, so well, because it talks about the values that drive happiness. And then it says, the world's most excellent sheep. In other words, there's really only one person that can drive it. So take us through a little bit of that, because I think that fits into people's, maybe today's challenge with not feeling like they're connected to someplace, or feeling like they're not able to, or the job's always better on the other side, maybe from that perspective.
Yeah, or it's just a feeling that the organization and maybe your leader is not invested in you, is not investing in you. Your previous guest talked a lot about listening, you know, and the need for leaders to do a lot of listening. And I think that's really important. And part of the listening that you're doing, it also needs to be growing your employee. And I think that now that folks have more opportunities, there's remote opportunities, better pay. And so, as you say, there's a redistribution happening for sure. And I think that from a retention perspective, and one of the things I talked about in that chapter is about if you individually can craft your job in a way that's going to make it more fulfilling to you, you should do that. And if you need permission to do that, then you need to start working with your leader. And hopefully they're going to be open and be willing to listen to your ideas of how you think your job could be better for you and better for the organization. On the other side of the ledger is leadership. And if you're not investing in upskilling and training right now, you're going to lose out, because this is what I've seen in employee survey after employee survey, is folks do not feel like they are being invested in, and they're going to go somewhere where they do feel that. And I think that that growth and that constant discovery is what keeps people happy and makes them fulfilled at work. And so unless there's growth happening, and the best way to have growth is new skills and new ideas and new things to work on, then, you know, folks are going to go elsewhere.
You then in part 2 of the book talk about work is a team sport. And I think everybody knows, and some people know better than others, that relationships is the key to anything. It really doesn't matter if it's you're a one person company or 1,000 or 10 or 1,000,000 person company. It's still about the relationships you have internally and externally. And not all are easy with that from an introverted or an extroverted perspective, and not all like social interaction, but it is a critical part of being able to deal with, as you call it, the jungle. So talk to us a little bit about that, and maybe a few ideas or tips that people can use in terms of getting themselves reconnected to that team sport.
Well, I think that one of the biggest takeaways I took from my research and in writing the book and that I'm trying to offer and promote forward is that difficult conversations build trust. And in our culture, we have shied away from having those difficult conversations because it feels like conflict, and conflict is supposed to be bad. And so if you're having conflict in a relationship, whether it's a work relationship or a home relationship, it feels like something's broken and not working. But as others have said before me, conflict is just information. So how do you dig into the conflict and sort through it in a way that builds trust, that has a lot of listening and a lot of sharing, and comes out the other side with growth? And those are the, I think those were unspoken and sort of unintentional attributes of good teams that maybe they didn't have to work for it. Maybe they were all on the same page and in alignment from the get-go, and it all just came easy for them. And that's, I think, how a lot of people want it to be, but in reality, it rarely is. Or if it is, it's not going to last forever in that way. So the ability to say, we're going to have conflict, we're going to have, you know, what others call psychological safety, so that you can speak up, you can mine for dissent, we can have everything out on the table, and that way we can trust one another. And that way we can feel like we're on the same team, we have clarity, we have alignment, and we can move the ball forward. And that's really what it comes down to for an organization.
You talk a lot about still having fun. And, you know, I said, I know that work is a four-letter word sometimes, but and fun is a three-letter word, but it doesn't have to be that much more work. Work can be fun, right? I mean, you just need to have that connection with something to make it something that you want to reconnect with. And that will, in fact, if it is fun, you don't feel it's actual quote unquote work, get a better shot, don't you?
Absolutely. There is, you know, one of my favorite books of the past several years is called Prime to Perform by Lindsay McGregor and Neil Doshi. And in it, they do a lot of research on a bunch of companies and talk about their theory of total motivation. And for them, the three positive factors of total motivation are play, purpose, and potential. And play is something that is super important, but doesn't get the recognition it deserves at work. Because obviously in our culture, it feels like play is the opposite of work. Well, here's something that I thought was interesting, because for a time in my life, I was on the board of directors at the Children's Museum here in the town of Tacoma, Washington, where I live. And the executive director of the Children's Museum is someone I interviewed for this book on the chapter where I was talking about Lindsay and Neil's book. And she connected the dots for me perfectly. She said, you know, when you look at the way a child, a five-year-old at a water table at a children's museum is participating in that activity, splashing water, experimenting, seeing if this rubber duck will float down the channel that way, smiling, laughing, what they're doing is they're learning, they're experimenting, they're taking risks, trying new things, and enjoying the process. We call that play, but we don't have a good word for that at work. And we need a word for that at work, because that's when work is the most fun. Everybody's had those days at work where you're just energized and you're in flow state and your collaboration is happening and ideas are happening. And it feels like play. It doesn't feel like work. But for whatever reason, our English language doesn't really have a word that describes what that can be in a professional environment.
Well, we're having fun here on the HR Power Hour, and we will be right back on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, and we will be right back.
In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employer relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
Wise investors know to hedge against stock market collapse by utilizing physical precious metals. Noble Gold is a leader in this conservative financial strategy, offering extensive education, patient counsel, and expert guidance by phone. We've helped many first-time investors move their IRAs into gold using our easy three-step process. There is no time to waste. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com to get your free gold investment guide. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com.
With Zillow, you're not just looking for a house. You're looking for the bathroom where you'll give your kids shampoo mohawks. The bonus room you'll turn into a gym and work out in every single day. Starting tomorrow. You're looking for hardwood floors worthy of your signature dance move, the glitchy robot.
You're not just looking for a house. You're looking for a place for your life to happen. And whether buying or renting, Zillow makes it easy. With simple smart search features, photos, video walkthroughs, and more. Zillow. Find your way home.
If you're single and not dating on Match, then listen up. Match is not only number one in first dates, but second dates too. In fact, they've surveyed over 5,000 U.S. singles to get the top tips and advice when it comes to dating in 2017. Here we go. You want to impress a first date? Put your phone away. 45% of singles would be turned on if you visibly turned off your phone during a date. This is my issue, but the Mets are on it. It's like the eighth inning, and they're going to the bullpen. Millennials are 270% more likely than other generations to be turned on by someone who is binge-watching the same TV shows like Stranger Things or OA. Singles flirt everywhere, but flirting at the bar, in the laundromat, or at the gym are the most successful. I like to just say, hey, can I fold your clothes? Oh, see, now I get to, I don't know, but I would like to fold your clothes. Dating can be difficult, so if you're not using Match, you're missing out. Start searching and connecting for free today at Match.com. That's Match.com, Match.com, MATCH.com.
At over 150 years old, Verrill has an illustrious history with more than seven generations of legal expertise. With more than 130 attorneys across seven offices from Maine to Washington, D.C., Verrill serves clients across the country and around the world. HR professionals, business leaders, and in-house counsel count on Verrill as one of the premier labor and employment law practices in the Northeast. Contact Verrill at verrill-law.com. That's verrill-law.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAKorea.com and verrill-law.com. I'm your host, Stephen Chulo, and welcome to the HR Power Hour. Of course, our guest today is Mark Briggs. He's got an amazing book, which you should go out and buy right now, called The Butterfly Impact. You can get it on Amazon, of course. Connect right away with the HR Power Hour. Of course, we're on our Facebook site as well. So we appreciate all you out there getting your educational HR radio through us. So, Mark, in your book, part one and two we've talked about, but part three, wow, there's just so much good stuff in there. It's hard to believe. So let me just say about number 19, and I had to burst out laughing when I first read the title because I knew it was written by a reporter. And the title is Never Waste a Good Crisis. And of course, what is the rule of a good reporter? If it bleeds, it leads, and all the other crazy stuff that goes in there. Hopefully nobody bleeds in this situation. But talk to us a little bit about how, boy, in the last year and a half, it has been crisis on top of crisis on top of crisis. And even here, as we head into as the early part of 2022, nothing's really changed.
No, it really hasn't. And I wanted to underscore how much resilience people had shown and maybe give everybody a sense that they should be appreciating how much resilience they personally have shown, or their family has shown, or their organization has shown. But you're right. It has been one crisis after another. I tried to offer a few examples of, you know, certainly small businesses that had to make incredible pivots that they would have never been able to predict they could make prior to the pandemic. And I know that I just think a lot of people, when they think about it and they reflect on what they've been through and try to imagine doing that without the pandemic, they're amazed. They're amazed at what they've been able to accomplish, whether it was homeschooling. I mean, I can't even begin to start talking about what the healthcare workers have been going through. It just, I think, has been unbelievable what a lot of individuals have gone through. And now you get to take a look and say, I can do hard things. And the next time a hard thing comes along, I'm going to be better prepared for that. And I think that's kind of the overall theme of the book. You know, I start by saying, talking about my own hard things I've had to overcome in my life, and then, you know, string it together to the current day and the pandemic and the hard things that we're all facing. So I do hope that everybody does appreciate what they've been through and what they've been able to overcome during these difficult years.
Well, I think there's going to be a lot of thinking backwards, unfortunately, in a lot of this, because I think we're still, even though we're hopefully on the other side, it's still going to be a challenge. No question about that. You end the book with a chapter that's titled probably one of my most favorite titles. And I know I talked to you beforehand about this. You're already laughing and I haven't even said it yet, right? And for those, by the way, who don't or have not gotten this book yet, I think you'll find that there is truly practical application here. And you know, as an audience, that we talk to a lot of authors with a lot of books. And one of the things sometimes you don't get is you get a lot of theory, but you don't get a lot of practicality. And that's not the case here. And here's section 22. Life sucks, work sucks, deal with it. And you say positivity is prominent throughout this book, but the final chapter is a heaping dose of sobriety. Work-life blending is really hard, and sometimes it just sucks. Mark?
It's true. It's true. You can be as optimistic, and I certainly would qualify as an optimist, as you possibly can be, but there simply are days and times and hours and meetings and conversations that are not great, and they just kind of suck, and oftentimes it's just out of your control. And I think that is one of the things to remember. And it certainly was one of the points I was trying to underscore by ending the book like this, is to say, you know, these are difficult times. I've talked about how to navigate difficult times, but sometimes difficult times are just difficult. And it's important to remember that you can only do as much as you can do, and that you need to be able to focus on the small things. And I, you know, that was a theme throughout the book as well, is that in order to innovate your life, to truly innovate your life, it's got to be a series of very small changes. And so part of understanding the challenge and those days that suck is that, yeah, you can only do a little bit, just do a little bit today. And maybe that'll make you feel just a little bit better. But really, you know, the final chapter was, it was just all about kind of recognizing that reality, that we just have to sometimes grin and bear it. And that's all we can do.
Yeah, you state in here in big, bold print, think about what you have in your life and then imagine your life without them, your significant other, your family, your job, your health, etc. Naturally, you will learn to appreciate what you have and realize that things maybe aren't as bad as you imagined. That's real life. That's really good stuff.
Thanks. I wanted to make sure that people understood that there are different approaches besides just positivity. And I think that we are hearing more about, you know, toxic positivity and its impacts in some work cultures, where you can't just keep saying everything's great when it's not. You have to be real, and you have to, you know, talk about hard things and go ahead and admit that these are hard things to talk about. And sometimes, you know, you fail. Sometimes you try something, it doesn't work. It's not the end of the world. It's a part of this learning process. And so as long as we're learning more about ourselves, our teammates, our organizations, and our loved ones, I think, you know, you can keep going on the right track no matter what the setback is today or tomorrow.
Yeah, no, I think that's so true. You know, I think as we talked about the book, you know, real life today is a challenge at times. And you mentioned a little bit about, and I'll keep it on a journalism side for a minute. The world continues to change and the news continues to flow. And we've certainly never seen communication quite like this before, where it's just, it never stops, it never ends. And we have some division, of course, in terms of that. And without getting into the politics or any of that, how do people have that as part of their life every day, whereas they can look at a cell phone that pops up and that can change their mood in 10 seconds or less, maybe in a minute or less. It's a different challenge for people when they're facing that type of stress. when they're trying to balance and be resilient.
Absolutely. And I think that's another form of boundaries where you don't want to let yourself get sucked into all those notifications, all of those pings, all of that news, all of that, you know, that's a lot of stress, to be honest. And I've seen it play out either my teenage son, we were at a store a year ago and he got, you know, a notification, a social media post. Some of his former classmates were enjoying a vacation somewhere cool. And it made him feel bad because now he's not there and he saw they were. And then another one of my friends who's actually interviewed in the book was complaining about falling into this Twitter hole every evening after dinner. And I said, why don't you just read a book? Like, get out of there. You don't want to do that. You're not helping yourself. You're not growing. You're not learning. You're just stressing yourself out before you're trying to go get some rest. So find something else to do with your time there. I think your question is very appropriate because I think the boundaries we talk about in terms of setting up your time and making time for healthy things, it feeds right into this. Make sure that you're spending your time doing healthy things and not doing unhealthy things. And in a lot of ways, a lot of news media right now is unhealthy. Do you need a certain amount of it so you're an informed citizen? Absolutely. But beyond that, you probably want to limit your access to it.
Of course, we're talking with Mark Briggs and his book, The Butterfly Impact. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk, WLOB 100.5 FM, and we will be right back.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
Hi, I'm Susan McVetty.
And I'm Pete McVetty from McVetty's Hearth and Home.
Is there a sale going on at the store right now?
No.
No Hearthstone, Quadrifier, Mendota, Wittes, Blaze King, or Morso sale?
No.
No Yodel, Vermont Castings, or Regency? Oh, there's always a Regency sale.
No.
You're telling me that out of the gazillions of wood, gas, and pellet stoves that we carry, there's not a single sale going on?
Nope.
Oh, what about patio furniture, awnings, grills, smokers, and aluminum docks?
No, just because there isn't a big sale going on doesn't mean that we're not having great deals and still doing free estimates for anyone needing a heating appliance.
Oh, well, good. Just let me know when we're having another sale.
Okay, there's always a bargain to be had if you are looking for one, and we don't need a new heating appliance.
Well, maybe my sister needs one, or my friend, or your sister.
Stop by McVetty's Hearth and Home at 893 Route 1 in Yarmouth, or check out our website at stovesofmaine.com for the latest information, including our sales.
Really? I have to check out the website? Really? And I can't believe Regency isn't having a sale.
Being a father is an honor, a challenge, a duty, a celebration, and a testimony. I want to be legendary for you because I found everything to live for.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
In a recent survey, investors shared what they felt were the greatest threats to their retirement. It's no surprise the most common threats include stock market volatility, economic uncertainty, conflict in the Middle East. Unfortunately, there are many threats beyond your control that can affect your retirement savings. At Goldco, a leader in precious metals, the team believes one way to protect your investment portfolio is with physical gold and silver. Goldco will send you a free 1 ounce silver American Eagle coin, and all you have to do is pay for shipping and handling. No obligation, 100% free. Call 855-971-2006 to get your free silver American Eagle coin.
In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employee relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
Hey And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour, Educational HR Radio. And it is presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-Law.com. I'm your host, David Chulo, and today we're talking with the one, the only, Mark Briggs, and of course, his book, The Butterfly Impact. You know, Mark, this book comes with a lot of great tips and ideas as you have moved through it. And you've been a speaker, trainer, consultant over many years. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing today to get the word out, and also maybe a little about how you think it's making a difference in the lives of the people it connects with.
I started my current job. My day job is as a consultant for a firm called Smith Geiger, which is a storied research and audience analysis firm in Los Angeles, working with mostly media companies, big TV stations. And the job was created to modernize organizations, modernize newsrooms. And what became clear to me right away was, in order to modernize the output, the video content or the news reporting, we were going to have to modernize the whole organization, the way that reporting structures and communications and meetings, job descriptions, the whole thing. So that's what I've been doing for the past 4.5 years. And this book is really an extension of that, because it is about continually growing, learning, experimenting, and playing, going back to what we were talking about earlier. And so, you know, helping a large market TV station in New York or Chicago or Los Angeles try to figure out how to do the next cool thing, which is currently today, it's streaming video. Then, you know, that's a tactical strategic challenge, but there's so many of the people challenges that you have to solve along with it. To be an adaptive organization, you have to have adaptive people. And this book is just about creating more adaptability in your personal life. So to me, they really tie together nicely.
Have you had any connection? You say you're still obviously working with TV stations, radio stations. Are they paying attention to this, or is the industry still got a challenge?
The industry still definitely has a challenge. I think that the revenue picture has been disrupted, you know, time and again, thanks to the internet. And so there's a lot of uncertainty in that industry. I think there's a lot of uncertainty in a lot of industries right now. And I think that, you know, having the ability to, again, be adaptable to whatever the next new technological or audience shift is going to be, is what makes or breaks a great organization, not just in the media industry, but in all industries.
What do you do for fun?
I do a lot of outside stuff. I like to snow ski and water ski and trail run and mountain bike. And I'm, you know, a Seattle guy, and I'm kind of your typical REI catalog person, I suppose, if you want to describe it in one way or another.
Oh, no, that's great. Well, I still work on my exercise each and every week. If it rains, I run to and from the car, and I sit up and I lie down at night. So that gives me at least one sit up a day. I'm feeling good about it, Mark. So we're on the same page, right? It's all good in terms of the exercise.
It's all good.
It's all good. Thank you very much for being on the show today. I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to do so. And as I said before, I hope people go out and buy your book. They can get it on Amazon, or they can go to what website?
Butterfly-impact.com.
Butterfly-impact.com. Mark, thank you so much. We look forward to talking with you again, which I'm sure you'll have your fifth book at some point.
Thanks for having me, David. I really enjoyed this.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM or 1310 a.m. and streaming live at WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at hrpowerhour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.